Your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning, verses 19 and 20. Very familiar verses to us, and that'll be the text of our message today, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Find that place in your Bible. I gave you just a moment, and we'll stand together and read and enjoy a good special and then get into the message this morning. All right, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. Please join me on verse number 20. As we read responsively, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Thank you, dear Lord, for the book. I pray that you'll open our eyes to it this morning, that we may behold wondrous things from it. Change us a little bit this morning. Sanctify us. Set us apart even more so to the service of your Son. Bless this time of preaching. Bless the song. May it speak to our hearts. And Lord, may our hearts be prepared for the good seed from your word this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Universe and all there
that. Very, very good. I'm glad we have a no-so Bible. Amen. Not guesswork, but no-so. And I'm glad she sang it. I'm glad we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Because I want to preach to you on the principle of ownership this morning. The principle of ownership. Do you see verse 19 and 20? What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? A lot of folks make the mistake in believing that they are their own. But we are not our own, according to the Word of God. The principle of ownership. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the good song this morning. Perfect for the occasion. I pray that you'll please give me grace now to preach this message in your power. May it find fertile soil in our hearts today. And we'll thank you in advance for helping us, O Lord God, claiming it all according to the working of your Spirit and the promise of your word. In Jesus' name, and amen. A man was working on a sidewalk in a residential neighborhood, doing some repair work. He was breaking up the parts that were cracked, the part of the walk that was cracked and so forth, hauling it away. Brother Greg, something's not right with the sound monitors, I think, is the problem, okay? It's just dead up here or something. So, but anyway, he's repairing the sidewalk and so forth and, putting forms in and getting ready to pour new concrete. Throughout the course of the day, early in the morning, a man walked by with a friend, stopped for just a second and pointed at the house and said, "That's my house." And they talked for a minute, and then they walked on. And about an hour and a half later, 2 hours later, here came another man with a friend. They stopped outside the same house. The man pointed up at the house and said, "That's my house. That's the one I was talking about." And they talked for a minute, and they walked on. Later on, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right before he was done for the day, a fellow showed up with his wife. They came walking down the sidewalk, went up to the front steps of that same house, had a key, opened the door, walked in, said, and walked right in. So the question is, and none of these men were the same, 3 different men, who was the rightful owner? Who was the rightful owner? The truth of the matter is that all 3 of them had some claim of ownership on that same house. The first man who stopped in the early part of the day was the one who put together the house. The second man who came by a couple hours later with his friend was the one who purchased the house. He'd been talking about houses that he had purchased and sold and so forth and so on. He had purchased the house. The man who showed up at the inn with the key and his wife was the one who possessed the house. So one put it together, one purchased it, one possessed it. To some degree, all 3 of those men could claim some sense of ownership. One put it together, one purchased it, one possessed it. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with the church that was at Corinth. He's talking to a group of people who made up that church. Their behavior was being called into question. It was less than good. And I don't have time this morning to reestablish that fact with you, so take it for granted. In chapter 1, Paul dealt with contentions that were among them. In chapter 3, he said carnality is a part of your problem. You're full of envying. You're full of strife. You're full of division. A lot of inward sin that makes us carnal, okay? As opposed to being worldly. That's the external sin. That inward stuff makes us carnal. And it's a lot of carnal sin. In chapter 4, he talked about them being puffed up. He dealt with their pride. In chapter 5, he dealt with moral problems. Fornication was tolerated amongst the membership. In chapter 6, there were lawsuits among the membership. They were taking each other to court and entering into lawsuit with each other. All that he's talked about, and Paul comes to the end of chapter 6, and we get to verse number 19, that first word, there's an element of surprise. There's an element of shock here. Paul is saying, what? He's saying, what? He said, don't you know that ye are not your own, ye are God's. Like he's saying, hey, folks, he's talking to saved people. He said, have you forgotten? Have you considered recently the principle of ownership? Salvation is not just a blessed privilege. It's also a very serious responsibility. And that's what Paul was saying to them. What, man? Have you forgotten the principle of ownership? Now,
What he's saying here later on in these verses is this. The truth is, after we are saved, we are not our own. My life is no longer under my soul control. Jesus Christ claims ownership on all three grounds. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit claim ownership on all three grounds, as the men claimed in the story that I told you at the beginning of the message. I mean the ownership of putting it together, the ownership of purchasing it, and the ownership of possessing it. Now, friend, the truth of the matter is, I am not my own. And you are not your own. My body and my spirit are God's. Your body and your spirit are God's. And we live as if we don't have any idea of this principle of ownership. We live as if we call all the shots for our lives. We live as we could just make decisions and do things on our own whims without ever consulting God, without ever consulting the Word of God, without ever pondering the Spirit's leadership or talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. We're not to live according to our own desires, our own whims. Our life should not be carried out at our own disposal, because we belong to God. We belong to Him. That is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all claim rightful ownership. All three. If you're a born-again believer. Now, quickly this morning, let me show you what I'm talking about. Number one, God the Father put us together. He put us together. Our bodies, the Bible says here, verse number 19, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. We are all created by God. Our body, our soul, our spirit, formed in and after His own image. You see, everything reproduces after its own kind. Cows don't give birth to giraffes. They give birth to baby cows. Acorns don't grow tulips. Acorns grow oak trees. Corn doesn't grow cucumbers, it grows corn. Why? Because everything reproduces after its own kind. Now you understand, you must understand, that God somewhat reproduced Himself in Adam. God is a Trinity. Father, Son, Spirit. So when He created Adam, He created man, a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. There is no doubt about the matter that God made us. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." Psalm 119:73, "Thy hands," not my hands, His hands, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Hold your finger here, 1 Corinthians 6, and look at Psalm chapter 139 this morning. Psalm 139 and verse 13. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. And if you ever have anybody, you know, I told Larry and Esther yesterday when I visited up there at the hospital, it's amazing to me how much, boy, those nurses, they're on top of that situation. They got that little baby's heartbeat monitored. You could hear it in the room. They got it monitored out at the desk. And, you know, as soon as that heart rate fluctuates down, there's three or four or five nurses come running in there. And they're scrambling. And they're in case there's an emergency C-section. And I told Larry yesterday, isn't it ironic? The attention that this hospital gives to keep this baby alive. At the same time, we'll take the baby's life in different circumstances. Now, if you ever meet anybody that's got a problem with abortion, whether there's life in that womb or not, you need to take them to Psalm 139. Okay? Look at verse number 13. Now, we don't have time to read the whole passage, but look what the psalmist said. Look what David said here. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee," watch this, "for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." What works is he talking about, folks? He's talking about the marvelous and wonderful development of that baby during that gestation period in that womb. "Marvelous are thy works." You go in to take the life of an unborn baby, you're messing around with the work of God. Amen. Look at verse number 14. "And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God's book is there. And in God's book, all the members of that little baby in Esther's womb are written. And over this period of gestation, they are being developed and made. And the ears are growing. And here comes the fingers. And here comes the nose. And here comes the feet and the internal organs. And it's all out of that one little fertilized egg. God does all that. No doubt about it, friend. No way, absolute poppycock that man evolved from some lower life source, like a monkey or an ape. We were given life from a higher source, if you will. Amen. The highest source known to this universe, God Himself fashioned Adam from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and God made that first man. God made it. Listen to me. We belong to the Father because He is the one who put us together. I know, here's a little thing. I called Brother Mike yesterday. And I know Brother Mike, he's handy with wood. He enjoys, like some of you other men. And he works with wood. This is a very simple shelf. I've seen some of Brother Mike's other projects. They're far more complicated than this one. This is just a very simple shelf that Brother Johnson made. He cut these pieces out and everything and put them together. This is his shelf. He put this together. It is not mine. Therefore, it is not mine just to throw where I want to throw it. Because He put it together. Now, listen to me. This was put together by God. And by the way, Brother Mike might have put this together, but Brother Mike, how did you make this wood? Did you create this wood? No, He didn't create this wood. You see, God, you know, He put this together, but He put it together with material that God made. God not only put us together, He created the material that He used to put us together. You reckon He has any rightful part of ownership? Are you listening this morning? My life is not mine. My life is not mine just to choose. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll go here, I'll go there. I'll entertain this or not entertain this. I'll live my life like I want to. You know, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Man, thank God. I'll look forward to that one of these days. I'll walk on the streets of gold. But in the meantime, I'm just going to do my thing. Wrong. Nope. You got it all wrong. God has rightful interest in us because He put us together. That's rightful claim of ownership, isn't it? He put us together. But now, wait a minute. Let's number two look at the fact. Not only did God the Father put us together, Jesus the Son purchased us. He purchased us. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20. Verse number 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said, "For ye are bought with a price." Right? Now, many of us, most of us, well, all of us, we have items around the house that we purchased. We got some money, and we went out and bought the item, okay? And those items are valuable to us, some more than others, but they're all valuable to us. That's why we lock our doors. That's why we protect ourselves from robbery. That's why sometimes you have a guard dog or you have other means of protecting yourself, like that 12-gauge shotgun in the closet, amen, or, you know, other things. And you got these security systems and alarms to keep thieves out. Sometimes items are such valuable to us that we protect them from rust and moth and deterioration and mold. And we feel strongly about these items because we purchased them. We went out and we bought them. We purchased them. Now, how many people purchase a dog just to let it have its own way? Yeah, you know, just go to the bathroom where you want, eat what you want. You know, do what you want here in the house. We just wanted to have a dog. Nobody has a dog for that reason. You train that dog where to go to the bathroom. You train that dog where to eat, what to eat, so forth and so on. Nobody buys a horse just to let it have its own will. Horses have to be broken. That's silliness. You don't buy something just to let it, you know. I'm talking about things that have some type of life to them. Now, we make decisions for those things that we purchase because they are ours. We put some things behind lock and key because they are valuable to us. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus purchased us. We need to nail down this principle of ownership. Jesus Christ has a vested interest in me by right of ownership. He purchased me. He purchased you. And the Bible teaches us all through. Now, several things I want to point out about the fact that Jesus purchased us. Number one, we were purchased from the slave market of sin. Now, you got to get that, folks. You weren't just a little bit bad. I wasn't just a little bit bad. You said, Brother Angel, Pastor, I got saved at age 5 years of age. I never smoked or cussed or chewed or ran with those that do. You must understand what the Bible says about your lost condition. The Bible teaches that when we are unsaved, we are the servants of sin. The servants of sin. Let me show you. Look at John chapter 8, okay? This doesn't hurt us to go to the Bible this morning. Look around a little bit. John chapter 8. And along about verse number 32, we'll pick it up. We don't have time. Jesus is with these Jewish leaders, and these Jewish leaders are attempting to debate Jesus Christ, and they're attempting to prove him wrong. That's a futile attempt. Amen. And so here they are. And he says to them in verse number 30, what he's defining, he's describing his deity in this chapter. And along about number 31, Jesus says to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? They'll make you free. He's talking about being set free from sin, soul freedom. They answered him, these Jewish men, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. What? That's a ludicrous statement. The Jews? Never in bondage? Excuse me, you ever heard of Pharaoh? You ever heard of the Assyrian armies that came in? You ever heard of Nebuchadnezzar? 70 years captivity? And at the very time they make this statement, the Jews are in bondage to Rome. We are never bondage to any man. That is a foolish statement. How sayest thou, verse number 33, ye shall be made free? Jesus wasn't talking about their physical freedom. They were ludicrous to make that statement. He's not talking about physical freedom. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You know what that word servant is? It's the word slave. It's the word bond servant. Now watch this. Not only were these Jews slaves to sin, Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is sin's servant. You ever sinned? Well, I have too. So what does that make me? What does that make you? In our lost condition, we were bond slaves to sin. And do you understand that? Servants locked down, bond slaves to sin. That's our condition before we came to Jesus Christ. On the slave market of sin. We were purchased, number two, from the slave market of sin by the blood of God. That's what purchased us from the slave market. Let me read you these verses without you turning to them. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. 1 Peter 1:18, 19. For as much as you know, K-N-O-W, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Revelation 5:9. We're in heaven now. John's looking over in advance the time that we're in heaven. And we are singing a song. And guess what we're singing? Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Understand, friend, the principle of ownership. Jesus Christ purchased us from the slave market of sin with His own blood. That's a pretty steep price. That's a very steep price. The purchase price was blood. Now you think about those items around your house. Think about the ones that demanded the highest price. Well, you look out in the garage and there sits that car. It's costly, wasn't it? The very house in which you live, it was costly. Maybe you ladies open that jewelry box drawer and you look in there, some jewelry that was very costly. It demanded a high price. But do you understand that the salvation we enjoy this morning demanded the blood of God? Not the blood of man, but the blood of God. We weren't just purchased by the blood of Abraham. We weren't just purchased by the blood of Moses. We were purchased by the blood of God that flowed in the veins of Jesus Christ. That was the purchase price for my salvation. Blood. Anything around your house that valuable? How many of your boys sitting down the pew from you this morning, how much of their blood would you be willing to give to purchase some old sinner off the auction block of sin? I'm not giving any of the six kids that called me dad up. God gave His only begotten Son, shedding blood. Understand the principle of ownership. Listen, we were purchased from the slave market of sin by the blood of God, watch this, to become bondservants to Him. Paul called himself a servant of Jesus Christ in Romans 1:1. You know what that word is? Bondslave. Paul said, I was a bondslave to sin, on my way to hell, until Jesus came and shed His blood and purchased me off the bondslave market of sin. And now I am a bondslave to Jesus Christ. I'm still a servant. I'm just serving a different master. Nobody has ever been purchased by Jesus Christ and then just set free to do what you want to do. Live like you want to live. Go where you want to go. Come to church when you want to come to church. Do your own thing. Just enjoy that salvation, fellas. See you at the rapture. Where do you find that in the Bible? Well, you better believe it ain't there. There's a principle of ownership. God the Father put us together. Jesus Christ purchased us. He went to the cross and gave His life to purchase us from the slave market of sin. And He did so with the idea in mind that we would become His bondslave. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Why in the world would you want to serve anyone else outside of Jesus Christ? Is there anyone who showed that much love for you? Nobody else showed that much. I'm going to tell you something. To me, it's an easy issue. I'm going to report for duty to the one who showed enough love for me to die for me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It doesn't take a rocket science for that. I'm talking about ownership. Ownership. God is not this entity in the sky that, you know, one of these days we're going to report to. Yeah, I remember when you saved me, and boy, I had a good life. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to heaven now. Ownership. Here, now. He owns me. He purchased me. The Father put me together. The Son purchased me. Number three, ownership. The Spirit possesses me. Which is in you. That is, if you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. If a man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, meaning God's. You don't belong to God. You look in the eyes of some folks who profess salvation. There's no light on. There's a vacancy.
You're saved.
There's an emptiness. There's a vacuum. If you're a born-again child of God, there is no vacuum. The Spirit of God moved in. Choose me. He moved in. And when the book he wrote is preached, he lights up. And when the songs that glorify God are sung, he lights up. And when he gets around other believers who are born again into the same family, he lights up.
We've diluted this thing, brother. We've watered this thing down in our country so bad it's pathetic. Come to church, don't crack a smile, don't crack a Bible, don't crack an interest, don't crack an anything. Don't crack nothing. Listen to music I want to listen to, run with the guys I want to run with, go where I want to go, wear what I want to wear, do my own thing. I'm saved. What?
Hey, no light on!
So you're trying to make me doubt my salvation. If you're saved, I can't make you doubt your salvation.
Ownership, brother.
I don't care for that. Well, cut it out then. But it's written in the book in heaven.
The Spirit possessed, when we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. He took up residence. Are you listening this morning? He walked in. He lives in this house.
Now, you boys, you like your ball games. Athletes are known to be very possessive of their turf, their home field. Right? Nobody wants to lose at home, right? You know, nobody wants to lose on their football field. Nobody wants to lose on their basketball court. Nobody wants to lose on their home base. The Sox don't want to lose Taylor Field. The Cubs. Another illustration, amen. Let me use something else. The Cardinals don't like to lose down at the stadium. Okay. Because it's their house. You ever heard? Not in my house. Remember that? And sometimes ball teams, athletes, they'll ride the adrenaline of the home court advantage to victory over a team that's better, right? You may do that on your floor. You might do that on your court, but not in my house. No, no, you're not going to win here. Not in my house. We're not going to allow that in my house. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. I got no problem with that. I just want you to understand the Holy Spirit has that same attitude. Not in my house. Rock music in your car. Oh, no. Submitting your mind and your ears and your heart to all that filth that's inspired by Satan and a bunch of rebel hellions. Holy Ghost, if He's in you, He's saying, not in my house. I said, if He's in you. Not in my house. No. Carrying on with somebody you're not married to before you get married, after you get married. Somebody you didn't repeat vows of holiness to and vows of matrimony to. Not in my house, Holy Ghost says. Oh, I'm saved, Brother Angel. I'm living in fornication, but I'm saved. Anything going on inside? Holy Ghost stirred up about anything? That kind of behavior, the Holy Ghost, oh, not in my house. Amen. Intake of pornography, all this jealousy, envy, hatred, bitterness, ugliness. The Holy Ghost ought to be saying, not in my house. You say, well, man, who does he think he is to tell me how what I can do and where I can go and how I can look? Who does he think he is? Maybe he's owner. Maybe he's owner. Owner by right of possession. He moved in when I got saved. So the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ the Son and God the Father, all three
have a vested interest in what goes on in this body. God put it together. Jesus purchased it from the depths of the slave market of sin, and the Holy Spirit possessed it as soon as I got saved. That's called ownership. That's why Paul could say, hey, Christian, you're not your own. Hear me and hear me well. The Holy Ghost of God, Jesus Christ the Son, and God the Father, all three, definitely have say-so over your television set. We don't understand the principle of ownership. I said they all three have say-so over that television set. They all three have say-so over the music that's being piped in through your car, your CD player, your whatever, your MP3. All three of them have a vested interest and rightful interest in that music. They have a rightful interest in my thought life. They have a rightful interest in what I'm doing with my life, where I'm going to college, what I'm going to do with my life. They have a rightful interest in my church attendance. They have a rightful interest in my dress. They have a rightful interest in my talk, in my relationships with fellow believers, with my spouse, with my children. They have a rightful interest in my money because I am not my own. I belong to Him. The principle of ownership. The principle of ownership. My life is not mine.
We heard the story about the days when travel was mostly conducted by train, by rail. Boy, did you see them old booths, those old train cars, those old booths, you know, they face each other. Two people sit here and two people sit there, and they face each other. Two men sitting on that side, two men on this side, and a long train ride. And they rode for a while, read the paper and so forth, so on, passed the time. And eventually, one of them said to the others, He said, I got a deck of cards here. How about a game of poker? Turned to the guy beside him and said, want to play? The guy said, sure. Turned to the guy over here and said, want to play? Sure. Turned to this guy and said, want to play? Sure. So he got the cards out, put a little table up there, started shuffling the cards, dealing out the cards, going to play poker. He reached for his cards. Man next to him reached for his cards. Man over here reached for his cards. Man right here just sat there. They got their cards in order and started looking at the cards they had in their deck, you know, in their hand. And the guy just sat there. Pretty soon the guy that did the dealing, he said, you going to pick up your cards? He said, no. He said, well, I thought you said you wanted to play. He said, I did. He said, well, why don't you play? He said, I don't have any hands. Man, the guy got sheepish and oh my goodness, thinking he hadn't seen his hands the whole trip yet, you know. Man, I'm sorry. Oh, it's okay. So those three guys played, and after a while, the fellow reached in the back, man, pulled out a handkerchief, blew his nose. All three of those guys said, I thought you just said you didn't have any hands. He said, I don't. These aren't mine. I'm a born-again child of God. And these belong to Him. And even though I may want to play poker, it's not my choice.
Tell me how to live my life.
Well, I know. But you're safe. Joel Osteen smiled. We just don't mention sin at our church. It's pathetic, isn't it? We have watered this thing down. So, you know, Brother, I took Richard Smith, R.G. Smith, when he preached here a few weeks ago, Super Bowl Sunday. I took Brother Smith over here to Steak and Shake. We were the only two people in Steak and Shake. Two of us. Super Bowl night. Remember that? Everybody got out of town. Everybody got out of church, went to watch, you know, of course, place. I mean, we're two of us. We have the whole place to ourselves. Please wait to be seated. Okay, not a problem. You know, we both ordered chili.
You ever had steak and shake chili? Pretty good stuff, you know. Beans, meat, you know. They bring to set the bowls down. I'm looking at mine, looking at his. There's all I see is liquid. I'm looking at his. He's just got liquid. By the way, it took him a while to get it there. And so I took my spoon. I think I pulled out two beans and one chunk of meat. I watched Brother Smith. He had about the same amount of beans and meat in his. I tell you what dawned on me. You ever heard of add a little water to the soup. Add a little water to the soup over there. Dilute that stuff down. I'm going to tell you what's happened in America. We are so eaten up with being the biggest and having the biggest and being everybody's friend. Preachers don't preach truth. They rub a little salve on people and make everybody feel good on Sunday morning because we spent 1 hour with God. And the rest of the week, I gave God his hour, and the rest of the week is for me. The principle of ownership. I am not my own. And as long as it says this, I'm not going to add any water. I'm not going to dilute it. I am weary of young people claiming salvation and rocking and rolling and breaking all ties with dad and mom and just carrying on doing what they want. I'm saved. Show me that. I'm just doing my thing, Pastor. You got to understand. I'm just doing your thing? I'm sorry, but there's a little bit of a problem with you doing your thing. It's called the principle of ownership. Father put you together. Jesus purchased you. Spirit possesses you. And all three of them can say, that's mine. Are you with me, church? The happiest way to live in life is just to live. I don't mean just in the areas of church attendance. I mean my life. I mean my music. I mean my relationships. I mean my talk, my thought life, everything. Amen. Serve Him. Serve Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. The principle of ownership, He's mine. I am His. By right of putting me together, purchasing me, and possessing me. Who is here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm positive of it. I know I've been saved. Would you raise your hand in testimony to that this morning, please? Thank you. Take your hand down. Anybody else, Pastor? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I am not sure that if I died right now, I'd spend eternity in heaven. I don't know where I would go. If this were my last day on earth and I were to leave for eternity, I don't know if it would be heaven or hell. I don't know. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Anybody like that? Not sure of salvation? God bless you. Somebody could take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Maybe Glenda Payne could come and take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Things like that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Somebody this morning, Pastor Angel, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. I've not followed the Lord and believers' baptism, been obedient to that command. God's been speaking to my heart about it. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that? Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? If you're here to follow the Lord and believers' baptism this morning, come now. We're ready to baptize you in just a moment. While we wait, Brother Scott, Brother Linda will come. Christian, when's the last time you considered the principle of ownership? When's the last time you made a decision in light of the fact that you're not your own anymore? God put you together. Jesus purchased you. The Spirit of God possessed you. I'm not going to seed on this. I know some people, man, their health, they do good to be here one or two services a week. Sometimes you get caught in work schedules that you can't get rearranged immediately. I understand that. I'm talking about willfully sitting out. I'm talking about music. I'm talking about entertainment. I'm talking about all that my life is made of. When's the last time that I consider the principle of ownership? Who's here this morning, Pastor, while you were preaching, the Spirit of God sat right down where I am and put His finger on something in my life concerning His ownership? Pray for me. Would you lift a hand this morning all over the place? Yes, God bless you. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and baptized, you know this is the place God wants you to join, be a member. We invite you to come if you talk to myself or Brother Caleb about that. Join the church this morning. Dear Father in heaven, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the love You displayed by purchasing us from the slave market of sin. Thank You for giving Your own blood. Thank You for possessing us by Your Spirit. Truly You own us, and I pray that You'd help us all to recognize that principle this morning, the principle of ownership. We are not our own. We're Yours. Help us to live that way every day, I pray. And dear Father, break through the fog in some minds and hearts and bring conviction of sin and salvation to the heart, please. Truly, dear Lord, there are some who profess to be saved, but the house is empty. Speak to us this morning if that be our need. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar is open, and the ladies play a song of invitation. If you raised your hand, would you come this morning? Take a moment here and use the altar. The principle of ownership. The Father put you together. The Son purchased you. The Spirit of God possesses you. That's called ownership. Ownership. Would you come this morning? Let God work with your heart.